So, the first episode of the Season 7 Game of Thrones has premiered, and it was pretty good. I watched it with one of my BFFs, and geeked out way too much. I ate a lot of vegan ice cream. You should try the Ben & Jerry's Cherry Garcia and the other coconut one. They're amazing. Ate pizza and drank some wine. It was a pretty good time. Right now, I'm alone. There's a candle burning. I'm watching some YouTube live stream Game of Thrones reviews. I'm pretty into those, sadly. I spilled Diet Coke all over my floor, so that's really nice. Oops. But yeah, so I decided to go ahead and, I don't know, I guess recap the episode for my one follower who I make listen to my podcast. I'm going to go ahead and review this episode, supposedly. Let's see how that goes. As I remember them chronologically, I'm probably going to forget some parts. But let me see what we start with. We start with Jon Snow and Sansa in the north. They are still at the same meeting they were last season, which I found a little funny. I know that they're going to progress the show a lot and traveling and all that is going to be sped up a lot, which is fine. I mean, we're the last two seasons. I'm afraid that they're going to go ahead and just try to crunch or cram everything into these last two seasons and just make it too crammed. But I mean, I'm in it till the end. I geeked out a lot, so I can't complain that much. But yeah, we started out with Jon Snow and Sansa. Oh my god, Sansa. I'm not a Sansa fan. I've never been a Sansa fan. I'm empathetic towards her character, of course, and she's a Stark, and she is a good person. It's just that I'm not a Sansa fan. I don't like her. You know, we've all been rooting for Sansa, saying that she's going to go ahead and become this badass political machine sabotager since a couple of seasons ago, and this hasn't happened. I've kind of given up on her, and to make matters worse, I feel like Sophie Turner is just horrible. She's not a very good actress, but neither is Dany and John, but I like them anyway. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of Sansa. Anyway, Sansa started arguing with John and telling him that the Umbers and the Karstarks castles should be given to his loyal followers and the original families be displaced. She talked about rewarding those who were loyal to Jon and who actually raised their banners and followed the Starks in the Battle of the Bastards rather than those who betrayed Rob. Not Rob. Jon. Rob died a long time ago. Which, she had a good point. Like, most people were mentioning, she does have a point. But she argued and contradicted Jon, who was just been declared the King of the North in front of everybody and in front of his bannermen. And I feel like that is unprofessional. And that should have been kept behind closed doors, per se, and not argue with him or in front of everybody. Littlefinger there smirking, of course. Yeah, I don't know what to think about Sansa. I really want to like her, but I don't. But yeah. A lot of people on Twitter were getting upset if you criticize Sansa. That's ridiculous. I mean, people are allowed to hate the show. People are allowed to criticize the show and pick it apart and hate certain characters and put out their opinions and their theories. And that's how it is. Don't take it personally. I mean, we're all fans, whether you're a book fan, whether you're a show fan, or both. We're all entitled to our own opinion. Just chill out. So yeah, I'm not a Sansa fan. Anyway, they get a raven from King's Landing, from Cersei, of course. She's declared herself queen and asked them to go to King's Landing and bend the knee. Jon says that, you know, tell Sansa that she sounds a lot like Cersei, etc., etc. She also tells them, which I found interesting and a great, I'm closing a door. A great thing was that she told him, you know what? Our father, Ned Stark, and our brother, Robb Stark, were honorable, kind people, and they were, but they made stupid choices, and they did. They were on. This is the problem with the Starks. They're just honorable to a fault. And that's why we love them, because they're just so kind, so honorable, so family-oriented. They're not assholes. They're probably the least asshole people in the show. And I'm sure in the books, aside from like King Prince Doran and Doran, I thought they were pretty good also. And but yeah, they were honorable to a fault, and like Cersei told Ned in season one, you, what the fuck was that quote? I forgot. Damn it. You either win the play, whoever plays the Game of Thrones loses. Okay, that was terrible. I need to go Google it. I'll do that at a later time. But yeah. Let me go ahead and sit. Oops. I thought that was smart. A smart observation of Sansa, and she was right in that sense, but yeah, I don't think she should have argued with Jon in front of everyone else. That's not, you can't show that divide if you want to lead. Another scene was King's Landing. We see Cersei. Another scene was King's Landing, where we see Cersei and Jaime Lannister stand over a Westeros map. She tells them that Euron Greyjoy is coming for a queen, and she plans on, I guess, possibly accepting his proposal of marriage just to obtain ships, as she does not have a navy. Jaime's face was said it all. I don't know. Last season, I don't know. I didn't know how I felt about Euron, especially the actor. I don't know a lot about the character. I have not kept up with the books. I'm still in book one. I'm too lazy to read, apparently. I thought his clothes were too modern. He was all black leather, very chic. At first, I was like, well, it's too modern. I feel like that's not very Game of Thrones esque, but now that I watched it again, I actually like it, and I liked Euron. I'm looking forward to seeing more of him. I like that he told Cersei that he has a navy basically, and he's the greatest captain, and he has two hands, unlike Jaime. And yeah, ultimately, she proposes marriage to Cersei. She declines because they're traitors, those Greyjoys. And he promises to bring her back what she most desires in order to for her to accept his marriage proposal. I think he will bring back either, I don't think it's gonna be Dany or Tyrion or a dragon. I don't think he'll be able to capture any of those people and animals, but I think it might be the Sand Snakes, because they killed Marcella. So, I'm sure that will change Cersei's perspective on Euron, and seeing that he will go to any length to at least appease her for a meanwhile. And while she said, you know, they everybody betrays each other, right now she's in need of a navy. She has no allies, like Jaime said. And I think she's gonna accept his proposal. We also find out that Jaime and Cersei have not talked about Tommen's suicide. He jumped out the window, if you haven't seen the last season. You know, Cersei keeps going on and on about how they want to build this dynasty, as they call it, dynasty. I like the way you speak. A Lannister dynasty, but they're the only ones left. You know? So what does that matter? A lot of people think Jaime will kill Cersei this season. I don't think it'll be this season. I like Cersei. I love to hate her. I think she's a great character. I like her. I like Lena Headey. I think she's a good actress. Jaime. I like Jaime. But yeah, a lot of people are not fans of Jaime for what he's done. He killed King Aerys, Daenerys' father. Stabbed him in the back. That's why he's called Kingslayer. But I don't know. I go back and forth with Jamie. And he did push Bran out that window. So, I mean, how much of a good person can you be? I don't think he's gone in this redemption arc like the Hound in order for me to jump on the Jamie bandwagon. What is next? Arya? Oh, I forgot about the opening scene. Arya. Okay. So I was watching this with my friend, and Arya is dressed up as Walder Frey. At first, I was like, why is he alive? Is this a flashback? I'm such an idiot. It went way over my head. I forgot that Arya had killed Walder Frey last season. So I was just like, what, is this a flashback? I don't understand. And then it just dawned on me, like, oh my god, this is Arya. Arya dressed as Walder Frey. She poisoned every one of the main Freys, all the main, I guess, I don't know, family, cousins, anyone who could inherit the title, the castle, the lands, the name. And she just poisoned them all. Except for Walder's wife and the women there. I like that. I like that because Arya's one of my favorite characters. Some of her past seasons' storylines were crazy. They were weird. I felt like they were a little boring and they didn't make sense. Like that stabbing last season and her surviving like nothing. I mean, okay, whatever. But Arya is one of my favorite characters. I like the actress. I think she's a great actress. I'm rooting for Arya. I would cry my eyes out if Arya died. I like the fact that she spared the women because it shows who Arya is. She's gone on this rampage and is still on this rampage of avenging her family, and she's turned into this cold-blooded killer, but she's still Arya. And I don't think that will ever change, regardless. Those women, especially Walder's wife, her dressed as Walder Frey, told her, "N don't drink the wine. I don't want to waste my good wine on a woman." That is exactly what he would say, and that shows that she's not out there to punish those who are not at fault, who are innocents, and I like that. But yes, when she told. She gave this speech as Walder and saying that, oh, you killed the Red Wedding. You guys are heroes. You've slaughtered a mother of five and, or five, or I don't know how many kids they have, and did this and this. And, but when you leave one wolf alive, the sheep will never save. That was insane. I was like, yes, it was amazing. You should have, what? Torn them off root and stem. And then when she says, the North remembers, tell everyone that winter came for House Frey. I loved it. Arya, go Arya. Arya is my number one. She's my Coral of The Walking Dead. I don't watch that show anymore because it's awful. They've ruined it so bad. But I'm still rooting for Coral. He better never die. He better be the last one standing along with Carol. That's my Arya. Arya needs to be the last one standing. I will cr her and Sam. Because I would cry my eyes out if Arya dies. I love her character. I love what she stands for. I would name my child Arya. I just need to convince the future husband or whatever. Let's see how that goes. Anyway, the next scene we see. Let's talk about Arya still. Arya is traveling south to King's Landing to kill Cersei. I thought she was gonna go north. But apparently she's going south. She bumps into a bunch of Lannister soldiers on the road. They invite her over for a cup of coffee to chill. Netflix and it's not Netflix and chill. It's HBO Now and chill. Thank God for HBO Now. I felt like I just discovered fire. I didn't know about any of this. I'm always the last one to find out about anything. I got on the Snapchat bandwagon last year, and it's been around for I don't know how many years. I've never played Candy Crush, so that might come up too, my obsession. Anyway, she comes across this group of Lannister soldiers. I'm so full. I've been eating so kind of clean anyway after Sunday, and now I ate junk food, and now I hate myself. All that healthy eating and workouts out the door. I'll start again tomorrow morning, I guess. Anyway. But I had to add Coke, that counts as healthy, right? Okay. What was I talking about? Yes, Arya. Anyway, she bumps into this group of Lannister soldiers, and Ed Sheeran is there. I heard that he was gonna make a guest appearance. I don't know when. I didn't really mind it because I think it was Coldplay or Kings of Leon, either or those two bands, one or the other, appeared on the red as a little. Oh, I can't speak. one of those two groups appeared in the Red Wedding. They were the musicians. So they were just, I thought Ed Sheeran would have a part like that. And I was like, eh, whatever. And then he came up. Listen, I don't mind Ed Sheeran's appearance, and I don't mind him singing. I heard that song is important in the books, in reference to the Lannisters and Tyrion. I didn't mind Ed Sheeran's appearance or it singing, as I just said. What I thought it was kind of lame and weird was the fact that they zoomed in and the camera lingered on his face just to make the audience know this is a cameo. This is someone important. It's just like enough. I didn't like that. I didn't mind his appearance. That's fine. I don't care. It was good. I'm sure it will contribute to the story. That's fine. Yeah, what I found was annoying was the zooming in and the constant lingering. Like it was very in your face. I don't know. But yeah, I thought Arya was gonna either kill all those Lannister soldiers or they were gonna try to hurt her or rape her or something like that. But it turns out that she just gets to know them and finds it. Again, I like this scene because it shows Arya's humanity and how she realizes that not everyone is evil. These are Lannister soldiers. They're fighting for Cersei, who she hates, who has hurt her family so much, and who she's out to kill. But they're just normal people that are just, in a way, forced to fight. Like, I think it was somebody in the during the Civil War said it was a poor, rich man's war and a poor man's fight. That is very accurate. With everything, with every single war in this world, basically. And this is, can be, I guess this quote can be, it describes the scene. And yeah, she knows, she gets to know them. I thought that was very nice. What other scene? Sam. Let's talk about Sam. You know what? I love Sam Tarly. I'm a big Sam Tarly fan. People hate him. He would make the greatest husband. He's just the sweetest. He's a badass. He was one of the first to kill a White Walker with a dragon glass. And people always talk shit on Sam. They shit on Sam all the time. And he's just one of the greatest characters. He's Jon's BFF forever. They love each other. He loves Gilly. He's so smart. I'm a big Sam fan. If Sam died, I would be devastated. But anyway, he's in Old Town trying to be a maester. And of course, you gotta start from the bottom. So they made him clean up. That montage was disgusting. All this poop. Are these people that he was cleaning after, are they sick? Or they're just like, were they just the other archmaesters and the maesters who were just leaping and pooping? I didn't get that. I was asking my friend, but I mean, I thought they were just sick patients who couldn't move. I may be wrong, I'm not sure. But I mean, if they're just sleeping and pooping, that's weird. What the fuck? Anyway, that montage was disgusting. We didn't need to see all of that. But we get the picture. I like some people were saying I found it funny how Sam just broke into that restricted section and started taking all these books, exactly the books he needed. How did he know those were it? But anyway, I'll let that pass. Yeah, he's looking for Dragonstone, proof of dragon, sorry. He's looking for dragon glass in Dragonstone, proof of that there is some there. But Stannis had already told him. I think aside from I think this is just an excuse by the writers. We all know that Stannis told Sam about the dragon glass and Dragonstone. Why would he doubt it? I didn't Jon Snow as well. I think the fact that the real reason that Sam is reading all these books and trying to f the answers he's trying to find are one, the cure, we're gonna, he's gonna find the cure for dragon. Why do I keep saying dragon scale? I keep thinking of Dragon Tales, a cartoon I watched as a kid. No, he's trying to find the cure for grayscale. And of course, he's gonna find out, I feel, about Jon's true parentage or the prince that was promised, Azor Ahai, the fact that Rhaegar is Jon's real dad. Rhaegar is Dany's oldest brother. Jon is the son of Rhaegar Targaryen, the last dragon, and Lyanna Stark. I feel like he's gonna find out. Or how to cure drag grayscale. I'm just gonna call it dragon scale. Jorah is there. I like Jorah. I feel bad for Jorah. Jorah the Explorer. Why hasn't Danny gone with Jorah? He's so nice. He's so sweet. He's handsome. Anyway, he got dragon grayscale. And of course, Danny sent him away. I think it was last season to find a cure, and we find him at Old Town. He's locked in some door in some room and sticks his hand out trying to touch Sam. Why is Jorah trying to touch everybody? If he contaminates other people or whatever touches them, they'll get grayscale as well. Anyway, I feel like Sam will find a cure for grayscale. I don't know how I feel about this. Game of Thrones is a bittersweet show. No one has a happy ending. I feel like this is more of a writer's show creation storyline or route they're taking, because I feel like Jorah, or think that Jorah should die of Grayskull. As tragic as that might be, that is his fate. Let it be. He could go kill some White Walkers and then, I don't know, they turn into stone men. I don't know if they die. But yeah, I think he shouldn't be cured, because I feel like that would be more in line with the books. I've read half of the first book. Can I count? Does that count as knowing book stuff? But I think you'll find it. I think Sam will find a cure and cure him, whatever. What are their scenes? Let me think. I don't remember. Oh, yes, the giants and the White Walkers and the whites. At first, I thought it was just Arya trotting towards the camera. I was like, oh, maybe she's just going through a storm, a cloud storm, maybe something like that. No, it turns out it's the Night's King and the White Walkers and the White Army. And then those giants, my mouth was just open. I could not believe it. I mean, obviously it was in the realm of possibility based on the show, but seeing those white giants was just mind blowing. It was insane. I was insane, and it was freaking cool. Some people were saying that what if Hodor is a white? That's really sad. I'm gonna cry all over again. Hodor, I've never cried so much watching someone die on Game of Thrones as I did Hodor. If Hodor comes back as a white, or if one, or if even Summer or any direwolf, that would be freaking insane. And I don't know in if the most coolest way, more like, no. But that was pretty freaking cool. I can't get over that. Now I don't remember what else was on the show. Let me take a minute. Okay, I remembered that Danny scene. That was the last montage or whatever. Yeah, after 7 seasons or 6 seasons, Danny finally sailed to Westeros, and I think that was, as my niece calls it, epic. Epic! Finally, she's at West in Westeros. It was really nice to see her land in Dragonstone. I think it was Aegon the First, if I'm not mistaken, landed in Dragonstone there thousands and thousands of years ago, and then conquered Westeros, and that was also where she was born. So that's very special. I liked the CGI, and just the overall aesthetic of the show is amazing. You know, you could tell they're spending serious money on there to make it just amazing and epic, as Angelique says. I didn't mind her walking around and touching the sand and just admiring. I love the soundtrack of Game of Thrones. It is true. It's just amazing, and whoever composes that, I have them on my Spotify. It gives you chills. It's freaking cool. I love, love, love the soundtrack of Game of Thrones. I liked the way Dragonstone look. I feel like we've seen more now, just now that Dany's landed at Dragonstone. We've seen more of Dragonstone itself and the island than when Stannis was there. As you may remember, Stannis Baratheon, that was his home, I guess, with him and Melisandre. I liked that she just she by I mean Daenerys tore down the stag, Stannis' banner, and how cool the dragon looks, like the stairs and everything. I liked it. Now that I remember, Bran also arrived and at the wall. Bran and Meera are finally at the wall. They're at Castle Black. Poor Meera, Meera is a true MVP. After Hodor died, Meera just pulled Bran everywhere. That girl deserves a lot. She's finally there. Ed, I love Ed. I hope he doesn't die. I'm sure a lot of people will die this season. I think they're gonna cut or trim down the cast, and I'm gonna cry for a lot of those. I'm not ready, but I am ready. Yeah, I guess you don't believe Brennan Mira. They're like, who are you? You're dressed as wildlings. What, you know, reveal yourself. And Mira's like, well, I'm Meera Reed from the Neck. Is she from the Neck? I don't know. From House Reed, and this is Bran Stark, and Bran just doesn't have time to be round and round, going round and round. He just, you know what? I've seen the Army of the Dead. This is this. You've seen them. You know, I'm Bran Stark. Get out of my way. So they let them in. Hopefully, I feel like Bran will go to Winterfell. I do feel that, and based on the preview, we see him near Weirwood Tree. I don't think he'll bump into John. I think by then John will leave looking for something. I don't know. Another scene I almost forgot. Oh my God, it was epic. Or section, scenes, sequence was the Hound. You know what? I've never been a big fan of the Hound. He was a good character. Him and Arya had a great dynamic. He was just, I don't know, I've never paid that much attention to him and his character. I know a lot of people are huge Hound fans and they love the Hound. Last year he was at this, I don't know, yoga retreat. Well, he was, you know, he had a change of heart after Brienne kicked his ass, and then Arya left him to die. That was very cold, Arya. This guy, I don't remember his name, saved his life, and he was at that, I don't know what that was. I'm gonna call it yoga retreat. Yoga retreat, and then he was cutting wood, and then all his friends got murdered. They were all vegan. I don't know if they were vegan, but they were cutting a bunch of fresh vegetables. It looked awesome. It looked like a good time. They were all killed, and now he was back for vengeance. He bumped into the Brotherhood without banners, and now in this season, he's with them again. He's still with them with Beric Dondarrion and Thoros of Myr. You see that they're heading north. Thoros and Beric, I guess, have seen what the Lord of Light is guiding them to, and that is the Wall, the White Walkers, the Long Night. They bump into this cabin. I can't believe it's already, the snow is falling that much where they are. I think they're in the Riverlands, if I'm not mistaken. That's what I read. They bump into this cabin where the Hound and Arya, I think it was season 4 or 5, were invited by the farmer for a meal, and they robbed them and they left them there. And you find that they've killed him. The man killed himself and his daughter because they were gonna starve to death during the winter. The fact that the Hound was almost killed himself and went on this yoga retreat, as I call it, because I don't remember exactly where that was. He's reformed. He's looking. I feel like he's looking to repent himself and just find his purpose. He's realized that he's made a lot of mistakes, and he's just, I don't know. I think he's just trying to find something to live for and to peace his mind and just, I don't know, contribute something to society. Yeah, they go into this cabin, and you could tell the Hound didn't want to go in there. He was just like, no, I don't like it here. Let's go somewhere else. But the snow was falling. It was crazy, borderline blizzard. So they went and stayed there. And I love the conversation that he has with Beric Dondarrion. that he tells him, Beric, why does the Lord of Light keep saving you? What does he see in you? This all Lord of Light religion thing, fire god, you get you and Thoris of Mir on or after swear by is bullshit. Why does he save you? Why does he choose you? If you're not a good person, you're not a bad person, but I've seen better men. I've known better men, and they were not saved when their lives were taken from them. When they were hung from something, he said. That's referencing that guy from the yoga retreat that saved him. When they, jeez, that's my, what is that? It's my messenger. Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, that scared me. Okay, yeah. I was having a moment that ruined my ambiance. Anyway, yeah, when the Hound tells Beric, why does the Lord of Light keep saving you? I've known better men than you. When people, men that have been hung, men that have lost their heads and been beheaded, I feel like that was a nod to Ned Stark. Because Ned Stark was a great man. He was an honorable man. And he was a better man, I'm sure, than Beric. I don't think he, I don't know. I think it showed the Hound's just realization of everything and really questioning. He's always questioned the gods because of what happened to him as a child. He was burnt and all that, and whatever reasons he might have that at the moment, I don't remember. But I love that he told Beric, like, what, why do they choose you? Why does he bring you back again and again if you're not the most kind, good person I've ever known? That you deserve to live, to have multiple opportunities to live again, like others who deserved it and they didn't. So that was a great, great scene. I did not like that top-knot joke that the Hound tells Thoris of Mir he's a priest. He's a Melisandre, the male Melisandre, basically. Think of that, the red woman. He tells him something, a curse word, the see you next Tuesday word, and then says that you and your top-knot. I felt that was too modern, the top-knot he referred as to his man bun. I felt that was too modern and kind of out of, not in, I don't know, not very medieval. But oh well, it wasn't that bad. It was a little cringeworthy, but eh. We've seen worse, like the Sand Snakes last year telling Bronn that he needs a good girl but wants a bad pussy or something. Oh my god, that was insane. That was something else. What the fuck are the writers thinking? Jesus Christ. Okay. Anyway. But yeah, then we see the Hound bury the man and the lady, their skeletons, in the middle of the night. And he says, he tries to say a prayer for the seven, telling them you didn't, or something. He doesn't remember. And then at the end, he just says, I'm sorry you died. You didn't deserve this. Oh, I love the Hound now. I love him. That was just amazing. That was epic. Quoting Angelique. It was a very, very nice thing for him, and it just shows you that now he has a purpose. And I don't know, he has a purpose, and he sees in the flames. That was weird. That's what people were talking about. That Thoris of Mir, the male Melisandre, told him, "Come here, look at the flames. What do you see?" And he doesn't believe in it. The Hound doesn't. He's like, I don't want to see your stupid flames. I don't believe in that stuff. And he just, I guess at that point, people were saying, why does he see it at the first try? Because the red people that follow the red god or the old, I don't know what it's called. Correct me if I'm wrong. See stuff in the flames. They see visions and premonitions or something like that. And people were criticizing that the Hound was able to see them these visions on the first time, the first try that he tried to focus on the flames. And I feel like he did, because at that point, he was open to anything and everything. And his constant doubt of the gods, just at that point, I think he just, like, he's been on this mission of just, I don't know, finding himself or finding his purpose. And he's, like I mentioned earlier, he realized that he's done a lot of things that were wrong. They've killed a lot of people that were, maybe didn't deserve it or whatever that might be. And he's just open. He's ready. He doesn't, you know. I think that's why he was able to see visions in the flames. We find out that, let me see. Okay. Nope, it's still recording. We find out that he sees the same thing that Thor, Zivamir, and Beric Dondarrion do. They see the wall. They see Eastwatch by the sea. That is another castle, or fort. I think it belongs to the Night's Watch. Castle Black is in the center of the wall, I guess. And then Eastwatch by the sea. If I'm not mistaken, it's on the edge of the wall on the east side. Might be mistaken. So and that's the second time they mention East Watch. I think that's the name. So I think that the White Walkers that's the first place they'll attack. And anyway, the Hound sees that, and I think he sees the whites, an army of the dead, and then just then and there he believes. He may not believe in the Red God or all of that, but he believes that there is a purpose, and this long night is coming, and it's bringing something that they've never seen before. And he's all in, man. What else have I missed? I'm sure I've missed a lot. I don't remember. I think that's it. Well, in the end, Dany's like, "Shall we begin?" When she's at the map table, ready to conquer Westeros. I'm so excited. I wonder what's gonna happen. I think that's always remember stuff that I wanted to say when I'm done. After I'm done. Yeah, I guess that's it for now. Hopefully, I can do another recap when the second episode comes out. Maybe I'll have my friend do it with me. But then I get lazy. That's really bad. Jeez. Okay. Well, over and out.